doing a writing this past week, and I was what I was writing about was justification by faith, and what I was into was grace. By His grace, we're saved. And I was writing about grace, and of course, the term justification can also be translated acquittal. You were acquitted when you're justified. Do you know what I'm saying? You went before God and was found not guilty, but it was because of Jesus Christ that you were found not guilty. Without Jesus Christ, you're guilty. So your acquittal comes, of course, by the work that Christ did, but it's by God's grace or graciousness that we have that. And I looked the word up in the original language in the Greek to find out what grace really was. And, of course, it says graciousness. When I am gracious, and this word did include this thought as I'm sharing with you, when I'm gracious, I like to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? I think we have a thought that God did it because He has to. Graciousness considers and contains within its meaning happy. It's the Greek word, I believe, cherio. And what it's talking about there is the happiness and the glee that God gets when He's gracious to you. He didn't have to do it. He wants to do it. And it makes Him happy when He gets to do it. And when somebody comes and he gets to justify that person by faith through grace, no, by grace through faith, I'll get it, then it makes the Father happy. And He's happy when He gets to do that for us. And I don't know how I got into this, but I just know that He's happy today. And I know that He's happy when He gets to justify us, and I know that He's happy when He sees us partake of the Lord's body and the Lord's blood, and I know that it makes Him happy. Amen. It makes me happy. And I'm being filled up with God. Okay? I'm being filled up with God. I want to be full of Him. Yes. Amen. We're going to continue where we were last time. Let's look in 1 Peter. Now, so whatever I say today, you understand that this was for last week. Okay? This isn't anything that I prepared specially for today. It's just that today I'm getting to say it. I started last week, and this week we're moving on now into this thought of daughters of Sarah. I'm awfully dry. I'm still on a fast, and since it seems like last Tuesday night, I've not been able to quite quench it, my thirst and my dryness. I've quenched my thirst, but I can't quench my dryness. So forgive me as I drink, okay? Somebody say, okay, go ahead, Pastor, and drink. Okay. All right. This is the daughters of Sarah. It's actually part two. It's really part one, but it's actually, this particular title is Hysteria, Hysterical Terror, part two. I'm still on the same thought of part one, daughters of Sarah. And we ministered a while back about men, and we talked about the different types and natures of men. And as I go through this today, fellas, it's going to sound like I'm on our case again, because we do some stupid things, and we're crazy. As I looked at this, you know, guys, we're nuts, and we drive our women nuts. We really do. We make them into hysterical terror without the Lord, without knowing they can trust the Lord to get us fixed. They'd go bananas. She knows. I mean, this is so real to me. I look at what I'm going to prepare to you, and I use her as example after example. And she told me last week, she says, Delbert, I can tell already that you're going to be using me an awful lot. And that's the way she felt, an awful lot, as you teach this. And I am. Because I know that she's a daughter of Sarah. And I've watched her life go through what I'm sharing with you about in our lives as we moved into what God called us to do, and how she's still saying, I really don't know. And that's what I want to share with us today. Daughters of Sarah, part two, Hysterical Terror. In 1 Peter chapter 3, let's begin in verse 1. In the same way, you wives, be submissive. King James says, be in subjection to your own husbands. Why? so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won. King James says, by your conversations. That's an awful translation. Your talking to him is never going to win him. But that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. If your husband is disobedient, Peter here is giving us a way to cause them to be obedient. And it's by submitting to them. Now, this is tough. And it does not mean bow before them. It does not mean say yes, sir, and no, sir. It does not mean there's going to be a list every morning for the wife to do. But it means believing that God is going to take care of your husband. That if you'll just hang in there long enough, God will finally bring the man of God to the place that he wants to bring him to. And that's the submissiveness, the subjecting to, that I feel Peter here is speaking about. Last week we broke this particular passage down. Let's go ahead and read verses 2, 3, 4. I'll comment a little bit, and then I'm going to jump on into 5 and 6, because that's where I want to really get in today. Verse 2 says, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, again, conversation, King James says, and let not, say let not, let not your adornment be merely external. Now, it doesn't say you can't have external adorning. I like my wife to fix up. I like her to look nice. I've counseled with a lot of women, and I'd say, if you would just do something to yourself. Really, I had one day. I better not. If you would do something with yourself, it sure would make it a lot easier on your husband. It says external braiding the hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, and the putting on of dresses. He says it's not just that. There's more to your marriage than that. There's more to adornment than that. But let it be. Say, let it be. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit. You know, most women have trouble being gentle and quiet in their spirit. Let it be a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Is God turned on by your adornment outwardly, by your jewels and your dresses and your hair? No. What's he turned on by? Your spirit, your gentle and your quiet spirit. God loves that. And man was made after God's image, so man is going to love that. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Remember now, when I'm saying submissive, I'm meaning hanging in there. Hanging in there. And then he gives us an example of this submissiveness and this hanging in there. And it's Sarah. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children. You've become daughters of Sarah. If you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Any fear. Frightened by any fear. And then I gave you a list. I hit this last Saturday night. Not last night, but last Saturday night. And I came down here. I was at home and I was preparing, and I came down here and I got my translations out. I didn't know what he was saying. What are you saying here, Peter? What are you saying here, Holy Spirit? I don't understand that they can't be frightened by any fear. What's the Lord saying here? And I began to ask God to show me, tell me, help me here. Show me so I can bring this forth, because I really believe there's a truth in it. If you're going to be holy women, if you're going to be daughters of Sarah, then you got to do what's right and not be frightened by any fear. And so I got my translations and I began to look, and the NAS Bible says just what I read. The King James Bible says, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. How many of you women has ever been amazed at your husband? And you could not believe what he did. You see? The NIV says, you do not give way to fear. The Phillips Bible says, do not give way to hysterical fears. Your husband can drive you into hysteria. Jerusalem Bible says, do not give way to fear or worries. And the Revised Standard says, if you let nothing terrify you. Thus, the the title of this message, Hysterical Terror. Your daughters of your daughters of Sarah, if you don't let anything drive you to hysterical terror. I look back at our marriage, and it's 21 years old. And I put this woman through so many things, and she's hung in there. And I don't understand it. Myra, I think it's got something to do with that scripture you're standing on. What God hath joined together. I literally saw her stand on a scripture yesterday.
Amen.
What God hath joined together. And I wrote this down. If you're a daughter of Sarah, you will not allow what he does to destroy your home. You will not allow what he does to hinder your relationship with Christ. You will not allow what he does to damage or hurt your children mentally, spiritually. You'll cover him sometimes when he needs to be covering you. Sometimes you have to cover him. You have to keep the young ones from understanding and knowing what daddy's doing. Because daddy's doing something stupid. And you will not allow what he does to hinder God's purpose for him and you. When you're married, God has a divine purpose for that marriage. I'll tell you a prophecy I had over us. Judy and I went down to Dr. Bill Hammond's down at CI. First time Dr. Hammond ministered over us, and he gave us a prophecy, and he says, I've called you into the kingdom because I wanted your children. He says, now you're going to get some of the blessings. He says, but what I really wanted was them. Now, prophecy is supposed to be edifying. And that's not real edifying, you know. God got me so he could have my kids. But you see, one of my primary purposes for our marriage is to have produced Lance and Bonnie for God. That's why we were joined together. And you won't allow what that dumb husband of yours does to destroy what God has planned for you and him. Now, let me say this. There are cases when he needs help and he won't get it. He won't receive the help that he's got to get to overcome his addictions, or he'll overcome his problems. He just won't change. He won't overcome. And those are special cases. And they are very real. And they have to be dealt with. They have to be dealt with. And some of you have gone through the tragedies of divorce. And you've been ripped and torn. And you've seen what it's done to your home, to your family, to yourself. And I believe the scriptures give us encouragement for those situations. But yet and still, if he will get help, and he will get straightened out, and you will do what you need to do, God will change him. He changed me. If he can change me, he can change anybody. But I just didn't want to make it sound like people have messed up because he wouldn't change. No, he's got to change. He has got to change. Now, I'm going to look at Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah, of course, were one. And as Abraham began to change, then Sarah could develop trust into Abraham and learn that she could also trust God. And I think this is pretty clear in the scriptures, and we're going to be looking at it. So I want to look at Sarah. Let's go and turn to the book of Genesis. Begin at chapter 12, and we'll just go through these real quickly. I've got about 20 minutes of teaching. Now, we hear about faithful Abraham. We hear the great things about Abraham, father of the faithful. We hear how he went through all these trials and through all these testings and how he came out, oh boy, he come out great. He come out on top. And we talk about faithful Abraham, but who was with Abraham in every one of those tests? Who was with Abraham in every step that he went? Who was with Abraham in everything that God tested Abraham with, he also tested Sarah with. And every place that Abraham went, Sarah went. Who was there? Do you understand what I'm saying? I've already answered my question. But who was there? Sarah. And that's where Peter's coming back to here. If you're a daughter of Sarah, you'll hang in there like Sarah did. Now, this is tough. And it's tough talking about some of these things with my wife here, you know? eliminates a whole lot of material I could use if she wasn't here. So what I'm saying will be truth. And most of these things, I'll use myself as an example in her. Because I've done some stupid things. But she's hung in there. I want to make a list of 9 tests that Abraham went through and Sarah was right with him. How she stuck in there. How she went with Abraham. And what I believe that Peter is truly saying to us here, if you're a daughter of Sarah, you can be like her because you're going to hang in there. Now, number one, we talked a little bit about it last week. In chapter 12 of Genesis, beginning at verse 1, I want to read verse 1 through verse 5 just to kind of get us going. And then maybe we won't read all these, but you'll see the principles and I'll show you the scriptures so that you can do a little more study on this if you'd like. But the first one that I want to talk about is what Abraham first of all did to with Sarah. Women need to feel covered. They need to feel, what's the word I want? Help me. What? Protected, but that's not really the... Secure. That's what I want. The first thing that he did with Sarah was remove her security. And let's see what I'm talking about. Verse 1, chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land, from your father's what? House, to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and here it is, and Abram took Sarah, his wife. He took Sarah. Now, you got to understand, here they are in Haran, and they have a house. And Abram, 75-year-old gentleman, comes home one day, and he says, honey, I talked to the Lord today. She says, oh, you did? Good. Says, well, what did he say? He says, well, we're going to be moving. We're going to be moving. We're going back to Ur. No, we're not going to be going back to Ur. Well, what are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to move. We're going to go to a land that he's going to show me. A land that he's going to show you, Sarah would say. Well, where is this land? Well, I don't really know. What do you mean you don't really know, Abram? Now, how many realize that this conversation must have taken place? What do you mean you don't know, Abram? Well, the Lord just told me to go, honey. Well, where are we going? I don't know. Well, what are we going to live in? And Abram says, a tent. How much security is in a tent? And she had to leave all of her family. She had to leave all of her friends. She had to leave everything that she called precious and go to a brand new place that she didn't know a thing about. The people even spoke a different language than she spoke. And she went there with her husband. And she didn't say, I ain't going. She didn't say, you can go, I ain't going. She went with him. And Abram took Sarah. Now, I used this example last week, and it was very similar to what happened in our life. We came up here and ministered at the assembly church, and the Lord really spoke to us. And I said, honey, on the way home, I said, honey, I said, really felt like the Lord wants us to come to Lafayette. She said, think so, huh? Understand. We had just built a brand new house. We were debt free. It was a big, nice house. 2 years old. She didn't say no. She didn't say, you go and I'll stay. Delbert took Judy. And she left her family. She left her friends. She left everything that was precious to her. Wives, your husbands are going to take away your securities. They may not mean to. But in their attempt to do what they feel God has called them to do, there won't always be security. There'll be times where you don't know where your next meal is coming, which is the next one. There'll be times when you just don't understand what's going on, and you will have no security. That's why you need to learn to believe that God's going to take care of everything. How many see that one? Number 2, second one. Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 10. Now there was a famine, so Abram went down to the land, and now there's a famine in the land. And Sarah probably says, I knew he'd get me out here, and we'd starve to death. I remember a time, wasn't long after Judy and I had been married, that we had Lance. And I had changed jobs, and there was a couple of weeks there between paychecks, and we were living day to day, not just week to week, we were living day to day. And we didn't have anything to eat. And my mother still works in a grocery store. And she came by the one day, and she didn't know that we were in this predicament, that I had gotten us in this predicament. And she just came in with a busted bag of butter beans. She says, do you want them? Judy says, yeah. She never told my mama that we didn't have any money. See, she could have destroyed me. She never told my mama, we don't have any money. She says, well, we'll take them, and we ate butter beans for a whole week. Now, I love butter beans. But I have a real unique relationship with butter beans. Sometimes women, your husband's going to get you in situations. There's no food. You can kill him. You can destroy him right then. His ego is at such a place, you can bust him. Sarah didn't. So they went to Egypt, and things get worse. Now, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came about, when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, I'm going to try to say it correctly, Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and it will come about when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me. Now, who is Abram concerned about here? Husbands, we're jerks, man. We do some of the craziest things. We are so interested in self. We don't worry about our wives. We don't worry about our children. So things will go well with me because of you. And that I may live on account of you. And it came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. How many see that Sarah's got some reasons here that she could go hysterically crazy? There should be some terror erupting out of Sarah's innermost being about now. And you can imagine the conversation as Abram was telling her this. Abram, you take me away from my family, and you bring me out here, and we don't have any food to eat. And now we come down here, and I got to say I'm your sister, and now I got to go to Pharaoh's harem. Ah! Therefore, he treated Abraham well for her sake and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. How many say Abram's using his wife here? He's the epitome of crybaby. How many remember crybaby? Honey, you do it. This is the epitome of crybaby. And he says, honey, if you'll do this, then I'll be blessed. And that's exactly what's happening here. He used his wife. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Abram. Did I read that right? Why did the Lord strike Pharaoh? And why did the Lord bring plagues? Why? Because of Sarah. Not Abram. I want you women to know something. If you'll hang in there, your husband's going to put you into some predicaments that you don't want to be. He should never get you into some places that you find yourself in. You should never have to call the bill collectors. He's supposed to do it. You shouldn't have to call his boss and tell him he's not going to be at work today. He's going to put you in places and predicaments that you should never be in. But if you'll hang in there, for your sake, God will move. Not because of your husband's sake, but because of your sake, your husband, God will move on your behalf. And He'll get you out of that situation. Do you see that? So the second thing that we see here that happened was the famine. But what I really, how did I put it in my notes here? The famine in Egypt. But I should just say circumstances. I mean, there was circumstances that Sarah should have never gotten into. And it was Abram's fault that she did. But did she hang in there? She hung in there. Let's see if I have myself an example here. Read what I've written. Ladies, your husband will subject you to situations you should never be allowed to get even close to. But God will move, not because of your husband, but because of you. I don't know that I've ever put her in a situation such as that, or anything even close to it. I'm sure I have. I just can't remember it. God's making me forget it, I hope. But we put our wives into circumstances and some situations that we should never put them in. I'm reminded of one. We used to party a lot before we were saved, and I share this with young couples and things like this when we're counseling with young married couples and couples that's just before getting married. And while we were partying, I was dancing with somebody else's wife, and stupid me wasn't smart enough to know that what I was saying to somebody else's wife, somebody else was saying to my wife. And I was putting her into circumstances and situations that I should have never even got her close to. Sooner or later, she's liable to end up in Pharaoh's house. Is that okay? Yeah. Number three. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Now, this is the story of Abram and his separation with Lot. And I could go a couple of different ways with this. One, I could talk about how Abram was responsible for a church split. Or I could talk about family disputes. And I'm just going to talk about family disputes. Lot was Sarah's and Abram's nephew. Both of their nephews, he really was. He was their blood nephews. Sarah and Abram literally had the same father, but different mothers. And Lot was Abram's brother's son. So it was literally Sarah's nephew too. And I'm just using this because this is the way I want to bring it. Now, he says, I'm going to let Lot take whatever he wants and leave. His herdsmen and were having disputes with Abram's herdsmen, and so they separated. And they went their different ways. And Lot was both of them's nephew. And Sarah didn't take Lot's side. Sarah didn't say, now, Abram, you need to be a little gentler with our nephew here. You need to take care of him. You need to be gentle with the situation. You know he's our flesh and blood. She didn't take sides with Lot. She stuck with Abram. And my point is this. Ladies, when there are family disputes, you must support your husband. You must support your husband. Even though it's ripping you apart on the inside, you have got to stick with your husband. Example that I have. Judy's daddy, before he passed on, of course, got angry with me about something that I still don't believe I was guilty of. But yet he was still angry with me. He stopped coming to our house. He would bring Judy's mother down to visit with us, but he stopped coming. And he said some really harsh things and mean things to me. And this went on for a good long while. But what he saw was that Judy was going to stick with me. And I really believe that was the root of the whole thing anyhow. Is that he saw that Judy wasn't going to leave me and come back home to him. That Judy was going to cleave to her husband and stick in there and hang in there. And that's what really hurt him and made him mad at me. And there are going to be times, ladies, when there may be some disputes with your flesh and blood and with maybe with his flesh and blood, but you've got to stick with your husband. Sarah did. How many has ever experienced something like that? That's not, okay, I see a couple. Yeah. Happens. It happens. And what you do is you stick with your husband. Ladies, when there are family disputes, you must support your husband. Number four, financial blunders. I know it sounds like I'm picking on us guys, but how many guys are guilty of some of these things? Amen. Some of you are lying. Financial blunders. Am I meddling or am I teaching?
Both.
Financial blunders. Okay, Genesis chapter 15, verse 21. Starts there. What's happened here, and I'm not reading these because I want to get on. I'm nearly out of time already. She'll go with me, I promise you. So. But anyhow, what's happened here is the five kings have come in and have devastated the whole area. And Abram has gotten his church, his army, and they've gone and defeated the five kings and come back with all the spoils of the warfare. And it would be about the equivalent to four or five banks, what the four or five banks have. That kind of possession is what Abram now has. And he comes back, and the king of Sodom comes to him and says, just give me the people. And he says, and you keep the money. And Abram says, no, nobody's going to say they made Abraham rich. You know, God made me rich. And he says, you can have it all. Now Sarah's living in a tent, and he gives away this fortune. And she would have said, honey, you know we could have got a new camel. You know ours is leaking. We could have got a house. We could have paid off the building. We could have done all these things. But she didn't say a thing. I was going to buy a car one time. And Judy told me, she says, Delbert, please don't go up to Atlanta and buy a car without me seeing it first. I said, okay, I won't. Well, I was supposed to pick her up at work, so I come driving up in this new car. She looked at the car. She got in and she shut the door pretty hard. She never did like that car. I paid more for the car than I should have paid. They deceived me in how much it was going to cost me. The thing was a rattle trap. I put about five starters in it. Tail lights were continually burning out. It was a hunk of junk. It was a financial blunder. Now, she did say, I told you so. And I'm sure Sarah probably said, Abram, if we just had that money you gave to the Sodoms. But she stuck in there for the financial blunders. Leslie Widder wrote, ladies, your husbands may seem to make some of the most foolish financial blunders, but don't be moved. Hang in there. God is going to bless you. Is this okay? All right. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. This is a difficult one. This is Hagar. Are you praying for me? Hagar. And I'm going to title this one, Ungodly Relationships. I don't care how you look at the relationship that Abram had with Hagar. It was ungodly. It was not God. Sarah had this good idea, and she says, I can't get pregnant, so take this woman, make a surrogate mother out of her, and go into her, and you guys can have a child, and I'll take the child. Well, it didn't work out that way. The whole thing blew up. It was an ungodly relationship. It wasn't God. It was man's ideas, Sarah's ideas, but Abraham's now is 86 years old, but he kind of liked the idea, and he went along with it, and Ishmael was born. Now, an Ishmael is something that has a similarity to the real thing, but comes along first. And Ishmael was produced from this ungodly relationship. Now, I don't know how you look at that or how you want to look at that, but it was an ungodly relationship. And what I really want to bring out is what I put here. Now, no matter how you look at this, the relationship between Abram and Hagar was not of God. It was ungodly, but it did not destroy the marriage. How am I doing? Had it destroyed the marriage, the very reason for the marriage would never have happened. Ishmael would have been produced and not Isaac. The very reason for Hagar, for the very reason for Abram and Sarah to become married was to produce the promised son, which was not Ishmael, but was Isaac. And had Sarah allowed this ungodly relationship to destroy their marriage, the promise never would have come along. The marriage never would have produced what it was ordained to produce. And God would have had to start all over again. Are you hearing me? Your husbands, ladies, are going to get into some ungodly relationships. And just like he was back over there, don't you believe that, you know, when we were back over there up in here with the circumstances down in Pharaoh's place, don't you imagine that Abram said, "I'll never do it again, honey. I promise you, I'll never do it again." And he's going to do this again. He's going to do this one again. But your husband's going to get in some ungodly relationships. And he needs help. I'm not saying he doesn't need it. Please don't misunderstand me, ladies. You know, if he gets into these situations, he's got to have help. He's got to change. You can't go on living in those kind of situations. You just can't do it. You can't handle it. God don't think that God wants you to if he won't change. But at least Abram changed. And it's an ungodly thing. But you can't allow it to destroy what God wants to bring forth through you. No matter what your crazy husband does, you can forgive him, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. You can save the marriage and fulfill its purpose. Sarah did. Now, I believe that we're really... Are you seeing that we are seeing what Peter is trying to get to here? How Sarah hung in there with Abram? Do you think this is really what Peter is trying to say to you women today? If you're truly daughters of Sarah, you'll hang in there. Because the finished product is what God's after. And he's working on you, and he's working on him. He worked on Sarah, he worked on Abram, because the finished product was what they were after, Isaac. And they went through all these things together. Number 6. Unreasonable obedience to God. Unreasonable obedience to God. Abram come home one day and he says, "Honey, I talked to God again." Now, I imagine Sarah's kind of gotten scared now when she hears about Abram talking to God. He comes home again and says, "Honey, I talked to God again." And she says, "Oh, you did." He says, "What did he say this time?" "Well, I've got to make covenant with God." "Oh, well, that's good. That's real good. What's your part of the covenant?" Now, you got to realize, let's put it today. I come in here, okay? Realize now that the circumcision is not understood, all right? The circumcision, nobody in here is circumcised, okay? And I come in here, and I say, "I've heard from God. All us men are going to be circumcised today." What would you think? "You fool! You ain't touching my baby!" Do you see, when he tried to explain this to Sarah, what she must have thought, this guy, he's nearly 100 years old now. He has gone senile. He has lost it. He says, "We got to circumcise. I got to circumcise myself, and I got to circumcise the babies, and I got to circumcise all the men, and I got to circumcise all the servants." What would Sarah have thought about that? Would you wonder if the guy hadn't lost it, you see? But had he heard God? Did he hear God? He heard God. And what were the ladies saying? What were the ladies in the camp saying? What was the camp hold, the whole, what was the men saying? This guy has gone nuts. And he says he heard God. What would they do to him today? They put him in jail, wouldn't they? They put him in jail. No wonder God had to get him down into some place where nobody could get to him. Wasn't he the law? He was the law, so he had to get him down there where couldn't anybody arrest him. About 5 years ago, I began to hear the Lord and began to give me the message of the kingdom. And I'd come home and from work, I'd work on the third shift. I'd come home and I'd seen something in the Word and I'd share it with Judy. Heard something from the Spirit today, Judy. Oh, you did? What'd you hear today? Well, I'm not so sure about this rapture thing. You have lost your mind, Delbert. Did you say that? Said that. There's a whole lot of other things. That's just one. I mean, you know, there's. I said, not, you know, this city, you know, the golden streets and the, you know, this. And then when I took it and I began to share it with people, can you imagine what some of the women in the city would do? They'd come to Sarah and say, Sarah, you need to really talk to Abram. The guy has really lost it. Listen, I had people coming to Judy. I had people going to my pastor saying, we really need to pray for Delbert. He has really lost it. He is off the deep end. He's getting old. But she hung in there with me. She hung in there with me and she heard it. And she moved with me in it. And you've got to wait to find out. You have got to wait to find out. Time and the Word will determine if it's true. Now, he may be all crazy. And he may be off the deep end. And there's been some that have been. But I promise you. He may have heard God. Abram did. Unreasonable obedience. Ladies, there may be times when your husband says, God said, and you think, he's crazy. He's lost his mind. This is unreasonable. Is this okay? Number 7. This is the relationship with Abimelech. This is in chapter 20, verse 2 through 7. Let's read that one. And I know I'm going over. If you need to slip out, go ahead. I just want to finish this message and get it on the tape so I won't have to come back and just finish up these few minutes. This is Abimelech. Let's read this one. And what I'm looking at here is, I'm sure that Abraham back here said, I will never do it again, baby. I promise you, it'll never happen again. But here it is again. Now, Abram journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev, is that what it says? And settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gomorrah. Am I in the right place? Chapter 20, 1 through 7. Okay. And Abram said to Sarah, and Abram said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And notice he didn't even talk it over with Sarah this time. He just lied. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said, behold, you're a dead man. Because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married. Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a nation, even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Now get what Abimelech said. He's saying, God, you know I've been righteous. Oh, I've done some good. I haven't touched her. I could have, you know, but I didn't do it. And I'm the king and I could have touched her and I could have done anything I wanted to, but I didn't do it. And God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you've done this. And I also kept you from sinning against me. Notice that it wasn't just Abimelech's integrity. God protected Sarah. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. I did not let you touch her, Abimelech. It wasn't because you didn't want to. I didn't let you. But the point that I'm trying to bring across to us here, in number 7, is, how did I label it? He did it again. All right, husbands, let's be truthful. How many of you have ever said, honey, I'll never do it again, and then a few years later, you did it again? Come on. All right. Some of you, come on, be truthful. Okay. I've got more truthful. I'm showing you ladies that your husband is crazy, okay? He's just crazy. Just go ahead and write it up. But God has given him to you and you to him, and that's just the way it is.
Amen.
He's crazy. Accept it. He's crazy.
But hang in there. Hang in there. Give him to God. Don't holler at him. Don't rave with him. Let him only see the inner person of your heart and trust God to change him. Number eight. Oh, my. Ishmael. I'll just give you these and just run through them. This is in chapter 21, verse 1, 2, and then 9 through 14. What's happened is that Sarah has gotten pregnant now by Abram, and Abraham it is now, and now she has Isaac. And what's happened is that Sarah says, I want her out of my house. I want Hagar out of my house. Hagar's still there, and Ishmael's making fun of Isaac, and Sarah says, I want her out of my house. And Abram was bothered by this. Abraham was bothered by this, but he didn't move upon it. And what I've titled this, and you can read this, I've just got to go through it. How did I title it? I've got so many things jotted in here. It's good. I'd like to get my little things. Times when she knows best. She knows best. Husbands, does your wife sometimes know best? You might not want to go with it. You may wait, but you'll find out that she was right and she knew best. And finally, God came to Abram and says, Abram, get Hagar out of the house. Do what Sarah said. That's exactly what he told her. I wish we could take time to read it, but you can look at it and see. He says, do everything that she said do. And if we would do that, if we would listen to our wives first, we'd save ourselves a whole lot of problems. Is that right? See, if I listened to my wife the time when she says, don't go to Atlanta and buy a car, I may have saved myself a whole lot of problems. But I didn't. I got me a car. Number nine, finally. Ultimate trust. Let's look at this one, if you will. Turn to chapter 21. Or is it 22? 21. No, 22:1. Now, it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he says, now take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Abram comes home, says, honey, I talked to God today. Oh, you did? What'd he say? So, well, I got to take Isaac, and he and I are going up to the mountain. What are you going to take Isaac for, Abram? I've got to kill him. God told me to. But by this time, there seems to be such trust built into her husband that she knew he had heard God. There seems to be such trust built in her to God to know that God would take care of the situation. And I can just picture her praying the whole 3 days that they're marching, saying, God, please don't let him kill that baby. It's my baby. But Peter says, your daughters of Sarah, nothing will bring you to hysterical terror. You'll be able to ultimately trust, have ultimate trust in your husbands. Now, I don't believe that happened overnight. But I believe that Sarah came to the place where she could trust her husband. Do you see what I've tried to show you today, ladies? Your husbands are going to do some of the dumbest, craziest things. Most of your husbands already have done some of the dumbest and craziest things. And they relate to these things, and you can relate to many of these things. They've made financial blunders. They've removed your security. They've had times when there was no food on the table and put you in circumstances that you should have never been in. They've had problems with your family. They've had ungodly relationships. They have come home and said, God said, and you said, man, that don't sound real. That don't sound like the God I serve. What kind of God is this? The thing they promised you they would never do again, they did it again. Times when you tell your husband, I know this is best, and he says, well, I'm not listening to you. But finally, God brings the whole family into a place of ultimate trust. She hung in there. She submitted herself to her husband, knowing that God, because of Abram's desire to serve God, that ultimately they would come out of this thing like they needed to come out of it. Ladies, your husbands are going to put you through these same things. But if you'll submit yourself to him and to God, you'll find out you're daughters of Sarah. What have we learned? I believe we have learned that husbands are crazy. And as you walk with God, they will cause wives to go into hysterical terror if the wife does not learn she can totally trust God. To be like the holy women of Scriptures, you must submit. You must walk with your man. You must display the inward person and allow God to mold the man of God. That's how he's changed, by God's handling him. Can you trust him? Can you come into what I'm talking about? Yeah, you can. I know you can. We've done it. Bow your heads. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us that truly we can be father, sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, that we can truly walk into your statutes, and we can truly submit and trust our mates. And Lord, that you are in charge of everything, and you will take it and work it somehow together for good. We don't understand it, but we know you will. We know you will. Ladies, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands, because I just really want the Lord to minister to you. This has spoke to you. This has spoke to you. You have seen, as I went through these nine things, that your husband has done some of the dumbest things that you've ever seen. And you really have hurt because of it. It's hurt you. It could have destroyed you. But yet you see now, because of the principles that I've projected to you today, that if you can just hang in there, and if God will help him and help you, that you can stick it out and finally come out with a relationship that God had ordained from the foundations of the earth. If this has spoke to you today, ladies, and you've seen what I've tried to project, would you slip your hands up? Just let me see that it spoke to you. Amen. 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 Hands all over the place. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to take this now. And Lord, when the men do crazy things,